Well, good morning this morning. We're doing things a little different. Shocker, right? It's always different here every Sunday. So I do have a special song I was going to share. And so it's more of a kind of slash song slash testimony. This week I was thinking about some things, and I was thinking about David a lot. And I remember years ago I was reading through, and I was reading about how he was so excited about God, he danced through the streets buck naked. And here's the king running down the street, everything hanging out, running and, you know, excited. And he loved God, and he laid it all out. And who was going to tell him no? He was the king. Nobody. And so I remember reading that, and then I read two other stories, and it created this song called Heart's Desire. And this song is a little bit about David. It's a little bit about Moses. And it's a little bit about Paul, and it's about their encounters with God when they first, I'm not going to say when first, but they had very intense encounters with God. Moses, you know, he couldn't look at God, but he got to be as close as you possibly could get on the cliffside, you know, when God said, here, you know, I want to be right next to you. It's like, wow. You know, then, you know, David, when he danced through the streets like that, I think about that. He just didn't care what anybody thought, and he was going to praise God no matter what. And here was a man who he fell a lot, you know, but yet God said he was a man after his own heart. And I think about that because, you know, sometimes I know I've gotten very early on too, like in my walk with God, like I just didn't understand a lot. And of course, that's kind of like a baby growing up too. You know, as we walk through life, we learn more, you know, about who God is and his grace. And I realized that, you know, yeah, I could stumble 100,000 times, but, you know, each time I'm not giving up, and I'm going to continue to get up and stand up and fight, brush myself off, and he has grace there, you know, for it. And it's so amazing, you know. And last night we had a little worship night at the house, and in that worship time, something sort of came out of a story, like something that happened to me years ago, and I was thinking about. And I was with a worship band at the time. I was playing bass, and we went down to the Detroit Rescue Mission, which inner city Detroit is—it's not a pretty place. You see demon possessed people all over the place. There's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of spiritual warfare that is like in your face. It's not like, you know, it's you see the very rare, raw of what the city is. And this guy, he decided to go, his ministry is going to be planted right in the heart of all of this, and he's been down there for almost 40 years. So he has a shelter for people can come here for food, but also he's like, all right, you're listening to what I have to say about Jesus, you know. So he's praying for people, demons are being cast out, people are being set free. And so we were down there for a music event one night, and I remember everything. It was just a wonderful night. It was one of those nights where you just, you know, you just have this huge encounter with God, and you're just like, wow, that was awesome. And so I thought that was, okay, this is great. Well, me and the band, we ended up actually going back to the church. It was like midnight. We went back to the church, and we had a worship night there with just the five of us, and that got even more intense. And this church was huge. It was, you know, it holds about 2,000 people. So we had it all to ourselves. So we just cranked up the sound system, and we were just blasting and cranking, and we all had our eyes closed and just worshiping. And I remember at one point I put down my bass and I just started running laps around the whole church. I mean, I was just bolting as fast as I could. Then I came hauling down the main aisle and did a cartwheel. Cartwheel slash flip and rolled. And I'm just like, I didn't care. I just had so much fun. And so then after that, so, you know, we went home. And then the next day I worked at a shop at the time making steel dowel pins. And so some of these dowel pins were very small. So I'd set up a machine and it would run for a week without having to do much. So it was a lot of boring idle time. So, and I remember I was sitting there on the bench. I did a lot of crossword puzzles. So I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden I got this little, almost like a comic bubble, that appeared. And I saw the Father sitting on his throne. I saw Jesus sitting next to him. And I saw that picture of what had happened that night before, like they were looking down, you know, and I heard Jesus laughing. It was an audible laugh, and I heard his laughter, and I'm like, and he was looking, and then he looked at the Father, he's like, what is he doing again? You know, it like almost like a parent would look at their like little three or four-year-old, like who just did something goofy or had a sour fruit for the first time, and you weird face. You know, but it was taking joy. And so I guess the point is, it's like, you know, God takes joy in us, and he delights in us. And when I think about that story, I'm like, man, this is, it's just, God's so wonderful. And I just think about how no matter what we go through, he's always going to be there, and he's always going to lead the way, you know, and love us for who we are. I mean, he knew who we are before he even saved us. So is it a shocker that, hey, you know, we're not perfect after we get saved? No. But he makes us, we have that strive for perfection, you know, and we We don't ever have to lose that. We just keep going and going and going, you know. So this song is called Heart's Desire, and I named it after that because of kind of the three folks. So here we go. He loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. He loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. He loves you, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, you know he does. David danced for you with all of his might. Moses dared to go up to the mountain and talk with you. Paul was blinded for 3 days and he realized your love. Lord, open my heart that I may see yours, yeah. Open the eyes of your people, whoa, that we might see your love. Open the heart of your people, whoa, that we might love like you. Yeah, once again. David knew there was something more, Lord, to you. Moses talked with you as a friend talks to a friend. Moses, well, Paul gave up everything and he sacrificed his life for you. Well, Lord, give me strength to live my life, yeah, pleasing to you. Right. Open the eyes of your people, whoa, that we might see like you. Open the heart of your people, whoa, once again. Oh, yeah, once again. Oh, let us never grow cold. Don't draw us near. Oh, you'll never let us go. Oh, no, no. Testimony time.
Thank you, Tony. Anybody else like to share a spiritual song or a psalm over their encounter with God this week or another time? Oh, please.
This song I wrote a long time ago, based on Psalm 23.
You are my shepherd, I shall not want. You make me lie down in green fields. You lead me beside the still water. There you restore my weary soul. Your goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. Truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Along the narrow path of righteousness, you lead me through the valley of death. But there I shall never fear, for you're always near. You took me comfort in your rod and your staff. Truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. Truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You prepared a table before me in the midst of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows and overflows. Truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. Truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. Truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. Truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. Truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. Truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days. Truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days.
For an open mic at a bar, and performed it for the first time a half hour after I wrote it, and I was very rusty with it because it was still developing. But it was a song that just kind of came together. I was sitting there noodling around with some finger picking chords, and the song just was there. Okay, well. That sounds good. We'll play it at the open mic tonight. And it was, like I said, an open mic at a bar, and normally people were just talking through the songs, and yeah, it was just background noise for them. But when I finished this song for the first time, I noticed how quiet the room was. And that was rather profound. So, hopefully it blesses people. It's certainly blessed me.
So I'd like to continue on from last week. The teaching is called Examine Oneself. I'm going to start with Psalm 139, 23, and 24. And this is going back to the communion, breaking of the bread. But that's going to be in the sermon part. So search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting. And I want to stop and apologize for last week if I gave the appearance that I take my sin lightly. We're laughing hysterically that I had a plank in my eye and I looked at other people's speck in their eye. I don't take my sin lightly at all. The Lord reveals it, but He's given me grace, so I don't try not to continue it, but it makes it quite clear when I'm not in his way, or when I know, when I examine myself, I know I'm not in the way. And there's a thing called presumptuous sin, and it says, please don't let my iniquity have dominion over me. I struggle with that at times. Just it's a habit. You're doing the best you can. Stress comes in, and a thought comes in, or you think, yeah. For me, it's thought. The actions are gone. The thought is there. So my prayer language my prayer language and conversations with God are raw. They're not filled with theology. They're not eloquent. He said, come unto me, all who are heavy laden, burdened. And I did. I took up his offer. So when you said God knew us, he knew what he was getting into. He got me. He got you. He made you. You may think they're flaws, and they were at times when the devil was using us. But now that we've been redeemed, he uses those things that we think as flaws to draw people like us, our former selves. We're unique. We're not robots. He gives us a way out with the joy. Oh, wait a second. No, I'll do what I do best. Thank you. You were bringing up the joy in that song. We don't have to be held in bondage by guilt and by accusations of the devil that we messed up. We know we messed up. The Word says if we're faithful to confess our sins to God, if we confess our sins to God, he's faithful to forgive and restore us to all righteousness. What a relief. For a person that's repented and turned from the ways, it's a way out. And some people, and I can talk from my experience with friends, they're going to do it again and again and again and again. Because there's no consequence. God's not here. He's not watching me. I know we could read all the Old Testament scriptures about that. But God says his word. He's not slack and long-suffering. And people say, well, God's letting all these horrible things come in. He's still seeking for those to come into the kingdom. So if I get caught up in my woe that I messed up, I confess my sin to the Lord, and I know he's faithful to forgive me, forgive you, and restores me to all righteousness, that heaviness. I did it. I know I did it. Okay? David murdered, right? But here he is dancing in a nude, praising the Lord. So how do we, in our minds, how do we go from that heaviness of knowing that we were sin? God chastises those he loves. Okay? He lets us know when we mess. Where do we go from there? Do we stay oppressed? No. God's given us a way out. He's given us a way out. He's given us his son. I just want to make sure I get the right scripture. Well, it is the right scripture. Okay. So I will go back to for the joy, because I want to get back to the joy. He's blessed us with a farm. God has blessed us with a farm. And we're at rest. We're at peace. We have all the provisions. Should I be thankful? Oh, yes. The enemy is always accusing. And when I start listening to what the enemy is accusing me, us of, I start to bear over and listen or look what's going on. There's no reason to, but we're human. We're tempted. We know what the enemy is. He's the enemy of our soul. He will use deception because we know how bad he is. He knows he's the Antichrist. His only desire is to seek, steal, and destroy. We know that. But when he dresses it up and throws it out there or gives you a little teaser or in movies to call it trailers, just enough to catch your eye. And you veer, of course. And it may not be way off. It might be just a step to the left, another step, until one day you wake up and you say, where am I? David had the right plea. Right plea. God knew David's heart. God knew David's heart. A man after my own heart. And yes, look what he did. The only thing we have to do is confess our sins to the Lord. And he's faithful to forgive. And that's a freedom. Psalm 42:11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for shall yet praise him, who is the health and countenance of my God. My soul is burdened at times. when I sin against our Lord. It's a burden. And at times I don't want to accept his forgiveness because I think I should deserve more. I should punish me. But he loves us that much. We acknowledge it. And he casts into the sea of forgetfulness. This is a joy. We can. I shouldn't say we have the option. We do have the option of hanging on to that heaviness and oppression. We don't have to. That's not his desire for us. That is not his desire for us. You have to excuse me because I'm looking for the. This is a key scripture, and I think this is going to. You know, I had everything all set with how this was going to proceed in this. And it's proceeding the way I think how the Lord wants it. But the bottom line is, oh, here it is. Thank you, Father. Psalm 51, verse 8. Can you bring that up, Aaron? Psalm 51, 8. I'd like everyone to see it as well as I read it. Okay, I'll read it. I'll just read it. It says, make me hear joy and gladness. Oh, it's up now? Okay. That the bones which thou has broken may rejoice. There's rejoicing in the Lord. There's a happiness, the joy that our sins have been forgiven. We know that. He died on the cross for our sins. For the sins of all men for all time. But when we're in that moment of choice, to do what's right, to follow the Lord, or not. If we stumble, like I said, just confess our sins to him and he's faithful to forgive. Which brings us back to what part of the scriptures I read last week about Jesus telling Simon, said, Simon, Simon, the devil has sought permission to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed that your faith faileth not. And when you return, strengthen the brethren. When we fall, Jesus already knew with Simon he was going to return. And the purpose was to strengthen the brethren. The first time I went to the Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting when Rick had invited me, I didn't want to go. I said, what would I have to do with 200 other Christian men? It's my first time being in a Christian men's encounter. And I knew my life. And on the way up, the devil really reminded me of my life. Real. We can see that's the joy, because we're victorious. He can throw those fiery darts at us, all right? Not that I'm relishing. We go through things. We've gone through our life, all right? God's trying to mold us into the conformance of his Son. So I get off at the exit, Clyde. In Fairley, I took a left-hand turn, and before you take a right to Lake Maury Resort, on the left is the exit back of 91. I started pulling back up on the exit of 91. I was so afraid I was going to be exposed at this Full Gospel meeting for who I was. Key word, was. See, the devil's a liar. He was going to expose me for what I was, not who I am. And I didn't have a full comprehension of that. And I did turn into the parking lot. And I get out of the car, and I don't want to be there. I'm afraid. I think I'm going to be identified. And this man behind Clyde, Gary, says, hey, Tom, do you want to carry my suitcase? I don't want to be here, Lord. And so I have to send you to the chiropractor bill. Gary's suitcase attracts up to like 200 pounds. And so I follow Gary, and Gary doesn't know where he's going. Right? We'll walk into the Lake Maury Resort with these suitcases. Being exposed at Lake Maury, I walk in, Pastor Rick had told some of the men who I was, what my new life is. They asked me to be the first speaker that year. And when they convened the meeting, said, there's a man here we'd like to share his testimony. The power of our testimony.
You talk about being scared. Almost 200 men. The devil's taunting me. I'm going to expose you for who you were. The good things of testimonies, we have a chance to say what we were before Christ, what happened, and who we are now in Christ. And I had that opportunity. And the enemy is a liar. He's a thief, and he's a murderer. That's all he's here for. He was defeated in my life that day. I was saved by then. But to have your past be broadcast in your mind by the devil of everything you did wrong, and you're going to talk to men, what possible benefit is that? It's a tremendous benefit to the brethren, because it's to strengthen the brethren. Because what I was delivered from, so many men harbor and hide because it's a secret. No one knows. They don't want to be delivered from it because the temptation is there. The devil dresses us up so nice that it appeals to men and women. But the devil wants to silence us. And it's our own rationale that we're going to condemn ourselves, saying, how could I have done that? I failed. I messed up. I'm forgetting the scripture that says, if you confess your sin to God, he's faithful to forgive. So, if he said that, are you willing to receive God's faithfulness for yourself this morning? It's something you don't have to speak out. I know that in James it says, confess your sins to the brethren, but this is such a sensitive moment that I would like to just take a few moments, just personally meditate upon the Lord. If he's offered you the forgiveness and you have not received it for yourself, because it comes down to the fact that you don't believe that Christ's death on the cross is sufficient for your sin. You can't receive it for yourself. Today is the time in the day to receive forgiveness for yourself. Then the next step is to forgive the person that's either offended you or the person that you know you offended, to ask for forgiveness of them as well. So if you're all in agreement, just close your eyes for a few minutes and have that prayer. Then we'll come back. In Jesus' name.
Listen.
With your permission, I'd like to just go right into the sermon. And we'll have praise and worship at the end. And I think that after that, it'd be a time of fellowship rather than doing a huggy break. Last week, there was such a flow. I didn't want to, it would have been inappropriate to break the flow. So I just want to go into the teaching, praise and worship. And then we have the afternoon to share with each other on a more intimate basis rather than just trying to squeeze it in. So, what I have, like I said, the teaching is on examining yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 to 32. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the word. With the world. Psalm 119, 133. Order my steps in your word, and let not my iniquity have dominion over me. Oh, thank you, Aaron. So on verse 32, it says, We are chastened of the Lord. So when I say I have sinned and I have failed, the Lord's let me know. It's not that I actively go out and do these things. I've gotten complacent. If you go around the neighborhoods nowadays, you see all these signs that are saying, hate has no place here. We're supposed to hate sin. And the Lord showed me, when I was in college, a sin came into my life. And man, did I react to it. I was not even saved yet. I was violent. I beat this person up. Nowadays, after 40 years of hearing what society wants, I don't blink an eye. It's accepted. No, it's not accepted in my life. People all proclaim what they are and what they're doing. They have rights. They have rights. They don't have a price to die, and they're going to hell. But they're boasting in all their freedoms and stuff. They're not freedom. They're bondage. But the Lord, show me that's my sin. I've gotten lukewarm. I accept it. I'm not going to say anything to make a mess because the whole world's in agreement. The whole world's going to hell if they don't receive Christ. He's also told me I should be fasting and praying versus murmuring and complaining. The Israelites, 40 years in the desert because they were murmuring and complaining. We have the greatest weapons for spiritual warfare. Well, three. Jesus, right? The power of prayer and the power of fasting. I have so many friends on Facebook complaining about the current president, all this. Get involved. Are they praying? The question is, are you praying? I would never pray for him. It says to pray for our leaders, right? I've been praying for Biden's salvation. To see with his own eyes the oppression that he's doing. And in the meanwhile, years ago, I had to go to state Supreme Court to fight my case for what the state was doing to me. And the opposition kept on throwing all these things at me. And when I went to the state Supreme Court, the only thing that mattered was the law. Didn't make a difference. Their lawyers lied, cheated, stole. They did everything unethical. But the only thing mattered was the law. So when they went and said, did you do that? No, case was ended. But what about all this? Didn't matter. What does the law say? All those who call upon the name of Jesus will be saved. Amen. That's the law. So that day when all the world's dancing around, I have rights, I have rights, I have rights, they die, they're going to hell. We have rights too. We have a whole Bible that tells us more than rights, promises. We have promises in Christ. All right? And we do have commands to go out and make disciples, share the word, plant seeds. We should have the same desire that Jesus has, the Father, that no man perish but come to the saving knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. So how do I do that? That comes through fasting and prayer. Lord, use me, show me, equip me. He has. He's just asking me to step out. Okay, Tom, this is what you want to do? Here's an opportunity. I ain't going to do that. And I have a story on that one. But murmuring and complaining doesn't help. I can spend the rest of my life in ministry murmuring and complaining what you're not doing or should be doing. Or the people who weren't coming to Christ, who should come to Christ. People that are definitely perishing who are mocking us. That's already written in the Bible, how people will react. Right? Scriptures are foolishness to those who are perishing. But life, for the people who know God, they know those are words of life. So we have the words of life in us. We have the words of life. We do have a responsibility. And it's not a heavy-handed responsibility. It's a responsibility out of love. When you see someone floundering, can it help? It could be as simple as a meal, but the meal's not the issue. The meal is a way to greet, help an immediate physical need, and now we want to talk about a spiritual need. I don't believe in your Jesus. Well, you will. And there is a death. There is an afterlife. And where are you going to spend it? Heaven or hell? Two choices. There's nothing else. There's no reincarnation. You're not coming back in another form so you can get better. This is all we have. And to be passionate about that. To help a brother and sister in the Lord to get back on track. Words of encouragement. Not words of enablement. That's what I've been finding too. Enabling. We're enabling people to stay in their current condition. Lost. We're afraid to say the word Jesus for salvation. People have told us in church we're kind of blunt. When I say two choices, you share Jesus and people accept Jesus, they go to heaven. They go to hell. Well, we're doing all these food programs. We're helping the homeless. We're doing this. Yes, but you don't share Jesus. And that's not my ministry. My ministry is sharing Jesus first and see what happens. At least I have a confidence that whoever says yes to Jesus has eternal life. They still may be hungry for food, but they have eternal life. What's the more important thing? Having a fat stomach or having a guarantee, have a promise of eternal life? That's my direction, my motivation. So I don't want to get distracted about what the president's doing, who he's appointing, what Social Security's doing, what all that. That's, we need to be knowledgeable of that. But you can see the attack of the enemy on our lives, on family, on people, unsuspecting people that are now trading salvation for our government. They're doubting that Christ is sufficient. But the government says, I need a shot. This is not an anti-vaccine or pro-vaccine thing. Is what's the Lord leading you to? Where's the freedom? The only freedom we have is in Jesus Christ, in the truth. If you're prompted by the Holy Spirit to get the vaccination, get it. If you're not, I haven't. I haven't been prompted to get the vaccination. It's not that I'm being stubborn. He hasn't placed it upon me, and that's for me. That's for me. But the main focus is examine ourselves. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. It's what you're doing, what the Lord's called you to do. Right? Glad you're doing your thing. Okay. If you're getting burdened by that, just the word says, let me know the joy. The joy of serving the Lord. That's another point. Trust. Yep. Yep. Yes.
And stand on it.
It does. And it's not about us, right? Our life is not ours. It's Christ. So a thing, our daughter was pregnant, and she asked Carol and I to be self-quarantined until the baby was 6 weeks old because doctors say the baby's immune system isn't developed until 6 weeks. That's against my nature. Absolutely. But we did. We self-quarantine. I had to die to myself. And that's a maturing process. I would never do that. But we did because our daughter, Rick, did the same thing to go to India. Vaccinated so he can have the opportunity to go to India versus saying, I'm not going to get vaccinated and that door shut. So how the Lord leads you and trusting the Lord. This time that Lord has told us not to do ministry, he said, "Lord, you're wrong. We're gonna go here, and we're gonna do your thing here." And no, he didn't want us there, and it was hard for me to accept. But we trusted in him, and wow, we would have been in the wrong place at the wrong time if we were there. So thank you, Lord, for pulling us out, and that's part of the joy. I mean, we go through that probably our own tribulation of trying to fight what the Lord is. I don't believe he wants us to be robots and just say, do what I have to do. It's, we're human. We have shortcomings. He has eternal overview. He's sovereign. And we're looking up. He's looking down. He's seen the whole thing. He's seen the beginning from the end. And we're stuck in the middle. And we're going to try to have eternity twisted or pulled into our reality. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Simple message. Very simple message. Do you trust in the Lord Jesus? If we can trust our lives with our eternity with Him, couldn't we trust Him with our relationships, financing, education, children, government? Well, we do have our part to play, which goes back. It's better to fast in prayer than murmur and complain. So I just want to summarize the sermon. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. I want to finish up with Colossians 3. If ye they be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Last one is going to be 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's a summary for both Tony and Aaron for your songs this morning. So the joy that we have in the Lord flows out of us. It displaces, it does displace the works of the enemy. Or the love that shines out from us transcends the evil and the wickedness of the world. Will we be attacked? Of course. Will we have the opportunity to sin and miss it? Absolutely. But the advantage that we have is, once again, if we confess our sins to the Lord, He's faithful to forgive and restore us to all righteousness. And that's such a freedom. That is such a freedom. Would anyone like to add? You?
Mr. I want to tell you one thing. You know, when you talked about going up to the men's dance, you were scared. When being a song that works out, group is one way, I'd set the room up and all, and some of my coworkers could be there.
Yes. All the angels are having a party in heaven. So to add to what you had said, if I may, I think it was 3 years ago, we were wrapping up the Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings, and we're walking, we're going to have dinner, and there was a dark corridor, and here's Clyde at the end of the dark corridor, so you can think of all these things, go through the darkness. And Clyde's very direct, so tell me, if I die and I don't have know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, am I going to hell? Wow, that's a simple question. We have a simple answer, but I'm trying to look at Clyde. I'm trying to figure out what the answer is. And the answer is yes. I say, yes, that's true, you go to hell. And he just stares at me, you do your chin thing. And he goes, good, that's what my Bible says. And then you was just before then or after that, you received Christ.
Yeah.
At the hotel itself, because you did something very simple. You asked Jesus to come into your life, and he did. Very simple. But years of witnessing, you saw from the side, right? You thought you were back then an alcoholic, unsaved. You kept coming in because you didn't just serve the water and leave. You were standing there like in the outer court listening for yourself, trying to find out if this stuff is real or not. And you've heard plenty of testimonies. You know the testimonies that, well, you've heard testimonies. That's the great. God was glorified of the transformed lives and people's lives. And it wasn't until when you were ready. See, God knows. It was just a matter of timing. So it's the same thing with our families. Praying and praying for, don't give up. Of course, Aaron. You want to come up?
Oh. I used to talk to some crazy guy who used to work in a rest area. And you could tell in the evenings he was about three sheets to the wind. He'd get on. He was funny. He'd get on to get the people that ran the local repeater angry. And but that was great sport, too. But I found myself praying for him one day. Him and a couple other crazy ham radio friends of mine. One in particular from Canada who just shortly before he died, I found out that he'd gotten saved because I'd been so nice to him. I hadn't prayed for him a whole lot. Just one prayer. Hey God, save this. And that's pretty much the same thing with Clyde. Hey God, save Clyde, because I think he needs it.
Yeah, right.
So, prayer answered. I mean, years later, prayer answered.
Yes, yeah.
And it was only a prayer. It wasn't, you know, on the floor in a closet crying my eyes out. It was just a prayer. Hey God, I think he needs you.
And the amazing thing is that we were so geographically apart, but didn't make a difference. God's kingdom is God's kingdom. So Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail, and that when you have turned back, strengthen your brethren. And you're doing that up where you are now. I know you're talking to people. You're talking about Jesus. You do have concerns, and you're praying for people. And that's for all of us. When we return, strengthen the brethren.
More sunspots?
Yeah. Oh, for interference?
Well, interference.
For propagation.
There you go. Better propagation.
Okay. Oh, so we're going to have praise and worship, a time of prayer afterwards. Okay. I don't want to forget Gary's prayer request. So this is a good time to meditate upon what Tony and Aaron had already spoken out with songs. The words of the testimony and our teachings today, just for the Lord to examine ourselves and make our hearts available for him to do what he wants.